Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य विश्वतारिणे शील प्रभुपाद की जय। हरे कृष्णा। सो हाउ इज एवरीबॉडी। So Rahul, when did you arrive?
I just arrived now.
Just now?
Yes.
Came straight from the airport?
Yes.
Did you take lunch?
Yes, I ate something before.
In London or?
No, in Budapest. I flew from Budapest.
Oh, you're flying from Budapest? How
yes.
come? Oh, you're studying in Hungary?
No, I was studying in Slovakia for a year. Now I'm here.
Slovakia. So you're flying from there, Budapest?
Yes.
And Slovakia, where are you in Slovakia?
It's in the east of Slovakia. There's a small city.
Name?
Košice. It's close to a farm called Nieuwe Kačako, where there's a farm.
And what are you studying there?
I studied medicine for a year. I got a scholarship to study just for 1 year. I'm doing some practices, and I just finished now.
You finished your medicine?
So no, I will start in Malaga again in September. So.
Oh, so it was a 1 year.
Just yeah.
Exchange
just
program?
Exchange program. Yes.
Okay. Very good.
So one more, like now 1.5 more years, and I'm done.
Very good.
Hopefully.
So two doctors in a family.
Two doctors and many patients.
Two doctors, one physiotherapist. And what's Mamata going to be?
I have to think about it.
That's a secret. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I'm very happy to be here. And especially to be with my very dear godbrother, Vedavyas Prabhu. We are friends for many, many years. In early days in Germany, then in Bangalore.
Then in Calcutta.
Vedavyas Prabhu is a very, very wonderful who has dedicated himself to serve Prabhupada in a very sincere way. He translated many books of Prabhupada in German. He also wrote a book, The Hare Krishna Devotees in Germany. What's the name of the book?
Srila Prabhupada and his disciples in Germany.
Oh, Srila Prabhupada and his disciples in Germany. Here probably you kind of forgot that Vedavyas Prabhu is actually German.
Well, I've always forgot. But now I'm going once a year just to remember.
Because he speaks Spanish so fluently. He lived in Spain for so many years, and he's such a scholarly devotee, I'm sure. He speaks very wonderfully. And so these are the loyal followers of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to show our love for him through our cooperation to push this movement forward. The other day I was recalling that actually they couldn't find that quotation in the Vedavyas. So yeah, it was towards the end. And so I was just about to. And the other day in the GBC conference, it came up. Like, actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj told that to Satsarup Maharaj. And that's why Satsarup Maharaj put it in Lilamrita. And so Badri Narayan Prabhu wrote in the GBC conference. And he asked me and Bhavananda Prabhu, who were also there at that time, that we recall. So I actually wrote back, narrating the incident. You see, Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to read the letters that Prabhupada received in the afternoon. You were there also?
No.
No? You were not in
Los Angeles.
Okay.
All
right.
Books.
Right, yeah. So, Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to, of course, those days, you know, like, very few devotees used to go to Srila Prabhupada's room. Like, Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to read out the letters, and Prabhupada used to dictate how to reply those letters. And one devotee wrote a very nice letter, actually, very emotional letter, saying that how he wants to offer his life, his longevity, to Srila Prabhupada so that Prabhupada could stay on. But you know what was Prabhupada's response? That's the time Prabhupada actually said, your real love will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. And he said something to the effect also, you know, these words are nice, but you know, sentiment is not the thing. Like, the real thing is how you're going to cooperate with each other. That is going to show your love. Because this movement, today we can see that the most essential factor for this movement is actually the cooperation among devotees. And unfortunately, not many devotees have been able to cooperate for various reasons, you know. Many reasons may have been very justified and all. But then again, you know, this was a challenge. For the sake of Prabhupada, if we love Srila Prabhupada, then we tolerate those difficulties and carry them. So, always remember that cooperation among the devotees is the most important. How you cooperate with each other. That will be the real sign of our love for Srila Prabhupada. And if we can display that kind of love, then what will Srila Prabhupada do? Prabhupada will reciprocate. And how will Prabhupada reciprocate? Mm-hmm. Prabhupada's reciprocation will be in the form of spiritual advancement, Krishna's mercy, Krishna prayed. That is the most important consideration. Recently I was in Switzerland. I went to various places, especially two places where I was last. A place called Langenthal and Zurich. there was a time Zurich was a booming temple. There were about 70, 80 devotees in that temple. They were the biggest scores they had in distributing books. In book distribution, they were the biggest, Switzerland. Just one devotee there distributed the books that the whole zone could not match with. Harinamananda. This one devotee distributed 4 million. No, I'm sorry, not 4 million. 400,000 books, and contributed $4 million to the, and 4 million Swiss francs to the temple. Just one devotee. It was such a booming temple. Like, I used to consider that Zurich temple was the best temple in this country, according to my perceptions. I used to be very fond of the temple. The devotees also there were very fond of me, and I used to spend a lot of time. But for some unfortunate reasons, that temple today is practically empty. Very few devotees are in the temple. The congregation devotees, like yesterday was Snan Jatra festival and Sunday feast, and I was there. So the temple was packed, but that was just once in a while. And there I was actually making the point that even though the devotees don't live in the temple, they should make it a point to help the temple. What kind of help this movement needs? Okay, ISKCON has a big responsibility. What is that responsibility? To spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And how will that happen? How will this movement grow and spread all over the world? It needs two things. I'll be very frank. ISKCON needs mainly two things. Man and money. Without manpower, this movement can't grow. To go out and preach and make devotees is the business. And in order to do that, we need proper arrangements. And that's why I was very emphatically pointing out to the devotees in the Sunday feast, which was the room was packed with congregation devotees. I mean, many of them were full-time devotees at one time, very, very committed devotees. But today they're congregation. I mean, they are not so much involved for various reasons. And I pointed out to them, that you may not be able to give your full time to the temple, but at least give some time. Give some time. They're struggling so much that I had to send a pujari from India to help them there. And they were very, very happy about that. That boy I sent was very, very good boy. But otherwise, they're struggling. They don't have enough devotees to do the deity worship. And they have a very high standard of deity worship. So I pointed out that if 30 second initiated devotees give one day's service in a month, then 30 days of service will be covered. 1 month service will be covered. So simple, just one day in a month. And I also suggested that, like in Switzerland, they are quite opulent, quite wealthy, that if they can make some contribution, like I was figuratively I was pointing out that if 100 devotees give $100 Swiss francs a month, that amounts to 10,000 Swiss francs. Then probably the devotees won't have to go out worry about, you know, how to maintain the temple. Then the devotees can do so many other things for the sake of preaching, book distribution, etc. So this movement is the most important thing happening in the world today. Does it sound rather conceited that we are speaking like that? ISKCON movement is the most important thing happening in the world today. Let us consider. The world has many problems today. The world is full of problems today. But are those political leaders or other leaders of the society, have they been able to solve these problems? The problems are decreasing or increasing with time? Increasing. The problems are increasing. They're giving so many promises that they will come and do this and do that. They haven't been able to solve the problem. They have been able to probably make life comfortable. Yeah, life today is more comfortable than it was, say, 20, 30, 40 years back. 40 years back, to have a car was a big thing. And today, practically everybody has a car. 40 years back, people did not live in such an opulent way. But today, you know, their life has become very opulent. But did they be, have they been able to solve their problems in spite of all these material comforts? Their financial problem, their social problem, their political problem, have become much more complex today than it was before. Now, we can see very clearly that these leaders of today's society are not able to solve the problems of this world. Prabhupada used to say, when he used to walk by New York, the United Nations building in New York, Prabhupada once commented that each time I pass by this place, I see that the number of flags have increased. United Nations. But what they're doing, they're dividing the world. The number of flags increasing means more nations are becoming divided. So just by that point, just that from that comment, Prabhupada pointed out about the problem, situation of the world. Anyway, we are personally, I'm sure you all are seeing that. And I have seen this world for the last seven decades. And I'm seeing what's happening to this world. And I'm sure many of you have also seen. But what can solve the problem? Now let us go back to the root of it. What is the cause of the problem of this world today? Anybody? What is the cause of the problem? The cause of the problem is?
Lack of God consciousness.
Lack of God consciousness. Because people are not accepting God, therefore there is this problem. Therefore, what is the, if that is the root of the problem, that's the cause of the problem, then what's the solution to this problem? Rejecting God led us into this problem. The solution, therefore, is accepting God, accepting Krishna. Okay, theoretically, we understand that. Now let's look at it practically. How many of you got involved in Krishna consciousness? Please raise your hands. Practically all of you. Ever since you got involved in Krishna consciousness, did your problems increase or decrease? Decrease. Did your problems decrease or increase? Everybody? How many of you think that your problems have decreased? Okay. So if individually your problems have decreased, now if everybody in this world accepts Krishna consciousness, what will happen to this world? Will the world problem increase or decrease? So that is the practical demonstration of it. Theoretically, we can understand what is the root of the problem and what's the solution to the problem. And practically, we are experiencing it ourselves. You accept Krishna, your problems become solved. So the solution to these problems of this world is Krishna consciousness. Now tell me, who is distributing Krishna consciousness throughout the world? It's ISKCON that is doing that. So that is why I was saying that this is the most important thing happening in this world today. Because ISKCON is the only institution that can actually solve the problem of this world. Now, of course, the movement is very young. Only a handful of devotees are participating and accepting Krishna consciousness. But their life is changing. How their life is changing? Because they found the solution. Sometimes devotees, sometimes people say, well, you also have problems. Yes, we don't deny that we have problems. But the point is, that those problems don't affect us. We don't get affected by those problems. Like today, if a devotee gets bankrupt, if a devotee loses all his money, how does the devotee feel? He says, well, Krishna, what did he? It's Krishna's mercy. It's not that devotees don't lose money. Devotees don't face difficulties. But devotees don't get affected by that. But a person who doesn't have Krishna, what happens to them? Do you know how many families, how many people committed suicide in America when that crisis hit in America? Hundreds. Hundreds of people committed suicide. Because they couldn't tolerate that. Like there have been families. They have, you know, like, anyway, I don't want to get into that. Why? Because they don't have any shelter. They think their money is everything. Whereas a devotee knows that his money is not everything. He has Krishna. Should we get into that again? Okay, let's consider. You may not have money, but are you getting food to eat? You may not get money, but you may have lost a lot of money, but still you have food to eat. Still you have water to drink. Still you have oxygen to breathe. So what's the problem? On the other hand, let's consider. You are in the middle of the Sahara Desert. And the last drop of water that you had, you drank it 3 hours back, and now you're dying of thirst. But you have a bag full of money, and you have a basket full of gold. Can all that money and all that gold can buy you a glass of water? So now tell me, what is more valuable? A glass of water or a bag full of money? You don't have, say, consider a person is dying. He can't breathe. He has billions of dollars in the bank. with all that money, can he buy a, you know, lung full of oxygen? But are we paying any money for oxygen now? Who is providing all that? Who is providing our food? Who is providing our drinks? And who is providing our oxygen? Who is providing? Now tell me, what is more important, money or these things? Now another way to look at it is, a person has a lot of money, but his heart is completely devastated because of the situation that he is in. His wife is running away with somebody else. His son has become a drug addict. His daughter, God knows what she is doing. How does he feel? He has all the money in the world. But what is the condition of his consciousness? What's the condition of his heart? On the other hand, you know, a person is living in a very simple atmosphere, but he has a happy, loving wife, a very, very nice, caring children. They are doing very well in their studies, very obedient. Now, out of these two people, who is happier? Second one. So material success, material achievement, material accomplishment is not important. What is important is our inner state of consciousness. And what creates that internal ecstasy, internal joy, the bliss? Our loving relationship with Krishna. Therefore, we have to take this movement very seriously. We have accepted it. At least we have found the value of Krishna consciousness. And that's why we have accepted it. So now let us recognize its importance, let's recognize its value, and let's commit ourselves to it. It doesn't matter whether we are living in a temple or living at home. It doesn't matter whether we are brahmachari, sannyasi, or a householder. When we commit ourselves to Krishna, we must commit ourselves to promote this movement to the best of our ability. A brahmachari may be living in a temple for 24 hours, and a householder may be able to go just once a week to the temple. Doesn't matter. But whatever you can, just contribute to ISKCON. Whatever service you can render, just render that service. And just as drops of water fill up the ocean, a little service from you will amount to a huge contribution. So please take this movement seriously. Don't just think that, well, now I have become initiated, now I achieve my goal. No, not that. Initiation, mind you, is the beginning. Initiation is not the end. Initiation is the beginning. The consideration is what you are going to do from then onwards. And then onwards means how you are going to render your service to Srila Prabhupada and his institution. And the ultimate point is, at least in this body, what is the ultimate point? Yeah, but ultimate point of this body is death. Right? Isn't it? Like, that is the time when we leave the body. That's the ultimate point. And we have to remember Krishna at that time. That is how we have to prepare ourselves. Let us act in such a way that we can remember Krishna at the time of leaving this body. And how will it happen? It will happen when we make Krishna the most important personality in our life. Krishna, the most dear object of our love. Then only we will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. Because at the time of death, we will think of the person or object where we are most attached to. It is very unfortunate that people nowadays are becoming so fond of their dogs. Literally, dog has become many people's best friend. Now consider at the time of death who they'll think of. And if they think of such a character at the time of death, what will happen? They'll come back in that body. Therefore, let us prepare ourselves in such a way that we can make this life successful. This human form of life is very, very rare. You can't imagine how rare this human form of life is. Just consider, if you did not have this body, this human body, if you had some other body, could you question who you are? Could you question whether God exists? Could you question how to develop your relationship with God? Can a dog or a hog or a monkey question like that? Does a monkey think, who am I? No. But a human being can. And that's what the human life is meant for. Athato brahma jigyasa. Let's find out what's the purpose of my life? Why am I? Who am I? Who am I? Where did I come from? And what am I supposed to do here? So let us consider that. And ISKCON will provide you all with all the answers, and ISKCON is there to show you the way. ISKCON will show you. That is why ISKCON is here. Isn't ISKCON showing you the way? We found the way. We didn't know who God is, but today we don't have any doubt who God is. And we know what He looks like, we know where He lives, we know what He does, and we know how to approach Him. So we got all the information. Now let's take full advantage of it. Make it a point that your attachment is only at the lotus feet of Krishna. That your attachment is, that you develop your attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna. Then your life will become perfectly successful. Now Vedavyas Prabhu will give the mic to Vedavyas Prabhu.
This is mobile.
Yeah, you can pick up.
Oh.
Thank you very much. Little I can add, actually. Practically everything has said in one sense. Well, we may say Krishna consciousness is not very complicated. It's an easy process in one sense. It's actually an easy philosophy. And it just depends on, well, sincerity of really asking these questions, as you said. This is the special feature of human birth. If we don't use it in that way, then it's such a great loss. It's actually incalculable. You know, who knows how long it will take to again have that opportunity. It may take thousands, maybe 10,000s or longer of years to again have that opportunity to not use it. What is a kripana is the word, right? Somebody who actually has wealth, but he only has it, he never spends it. So it's like the poorest, he's the poorest person.
Yeah.
He's poorer than a poor person who just has a few euros and actually use it very wisely for a very good purpose. You may have millions or billions and you just keep it. And you, no, I don't want to spend one.
I will, don't shake it.
You know, I don't want to spend any little
lift your leg up.
Amount of it, because otherwise I will have less. It's such an illusion. You don't really use it. So if the human form of life, which offers such an opportunity, is not used properly, then it's like a rich man who is actually very poor. So it's an unfortunate circumstance. So at least if we understand the basic principles of Krishna conscious philosophy, then there's this possibility to become determined. Yes, this lifetime, whatever time I have, because even that is not sure. We may become old, and maybe if we are young, some of you are still young, you may think, oh, now I'm 20, 25, 30, I still have another 50 or 60 or even 70 years ahead of me. No guarantee. Some people die very young, so you may even have only another year, a few months. So there's no time to lose, actually. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit, he asked that question: what is the duty of somebody who is at the verge of death? And Shukadeva Goswami, what was his answer? First of all, this is a glorious question. This is the best question that could be asked. And the answer is going to be good for you and for everybody else, because actually everybody is in that same position, on the verge of death. So what is the answer? As you said, you should remember Krishna, Ante Narayana Smriti. When the end comes, the end point, we have to remember Krishna, and then all these problems that are now facing us, they come and go, they will be solved forever. So therefore, yes, Krishna consciousness is the solution, and it's the most important activity to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So that's what I try to do. Go from place to place, and like, wake up, come on, participate. Huh? Give your energy in whatever form you can. There's also no limit. It could be whatever you can. Even if it's small, it may be very valuable. Quality is better than quantity. So nobody should think, oh, I have no qualities, or I don't know how I could. Everybody has some ability. Krishna has given everybody some ability he can use in Krishna's service. And if you don't know, you ask. Somebody will tell you, right? So.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhu. And I was actually thinking, like, here we have such a wonderful example in Hari Narayana. Like, all along he has been supporting this movement in so many ways. Like, wherever there was difficulty, Hari Narayana. Thank you so much, everyone. And I'm sure Prabhupada will reward you in the most wonderful way. He has been such a wonderful example. Also, I must also admit that Vinod Bihari and Ananda Vardhan and the family had been very supportive. Like, all along I have seen that although they're householders, their heart was always in the temple. And for so many years.
Every Sunday they're there.
Yeah, and for the last
preferred service, serve prasadam, clean the kitchen. I mean, normally you would expect, I'm in a different category. The Shudras can do this. But they're always in upfront.
Also, Dharmaraj had been a very big support and very enthusiastic preacher. I mean, we have such wonderful examples here, so many. Such devotees, Harinarayan's family, and Dinabandhu Harinarayan sent him to Gurukul to be trained up. You know, I mean, it needs a lot of conviction and, you know, confidence in the movement to send a young boy.
Yeah.
And so, so many nice examples are there, and it's a Spain is a beautiful field because Spanish people are basically Catholics, and I think they are more receptive to Krishna consciousness than others. And now, at least we should try to preach. Another thing is that Krishna has blessed all these Indians in different parts. There must be a plan.
That's true.
Like, I mean, especially in America, we notice it. Like, our movement is getting such a tremendous support, incredible support from the Indians there. And so many young professionals are coming forward now. Many young professionals are becoming very, very actively involved in Krishna consciousness. So this is how this movement is going to grow. And now we have to simply consider, what am I going to do for this? A grand thing is happening. Don't you want to be a part of it? Because when you become a part of a grand success, then you also become successful. You get the glory of being a part of it. Such a wonderful thing is happening all over the world. Another point I thought of making is that I was saying that how these leaders of the world today won't be able to solve the problem. Only ISKCON is the only institution that can actually solve the problem. ISKCON means Krishna Consciousness Movement. It's the reason is everyone is thinking that they will solve the problem by some material means. But material means to solve problems simply increases problems. It doesn't solve the problem. Especially when the problem is caused due to materialistic mentality. Today's world is facing all the problems because of acute and intense materialistic attitude. So what is the solution? Solution is the spiritual involvement. And what is the spiritual involvement? Three simple considerations. Spiritual understanding consists of three simple factors. First factor is, our actual identity is not this body, but what is our actual identity? Our actual identity is spiritual. That is the first one consideration. And Krishna is the supreme spirit. We are minute spirit, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Spirit from whom all these minute spirits have come. And because we have severed our relationship with Krishna, because we have gone away from Krishna, we have fallen into this material nature, which is a place of suffering. Therefore, the solution to this problem is to re-establish a connection with Krishna. We are suffering because we have become isolated from Krishna. Now, if we can become connected to Krishna, our problems and suffering conditions will be over. So, this very simple consideration. And how to develop our relationship with Krishna? develop your love for him. How do you develop your love for him? By hearing about him and singing his glory. You hear about Krishna, that's how you get to know who Krishna is. And when you get to know Krishna, when you love somebody, then what happens? Don't you want to speak about the person all the time? Huh? Like the mother loves the baby. And what does the mother do? Mother tells everybody, you know, my baby did this, baby did that. Not only the baby, when the son grows up also. The father and mother feel so proud. You know, my son has done so well in his studies. My son has become such a good boy. So this is how we sing the glory of the person whom we love. So if we love Krishna, then what we'd like to do naturally? Want to simply sing his glory? Oh, you know, Krishna is this, Krishna is that, Krishna had done this, Krishna can do this. And that comes out in the form of preaching. We go out and tell people. That means in this way we remind them also about the greatness of Krishna. It's such a wonderful process. Anyway, so please, as I was suggesting, I am requesting you all to do a very simple thing. A big thing is happening in this world today, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. ISKCON has been established and ISKCON is there. Help this movement. Get involved in this movement. Accept the process that Srila Prabhupada has given. And make your life successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Anandavardhan.
One question which you said that the devotees take the, when they're suffering, it takes as a mercy of Krishna. But sometimes also the devotees say that when something is taken away, Krishna is pleased with you, so he's giving you mercy. So sometimes devotees get scared to approach Krishna because they say Krishna's name is, you know, he takes away all the material possessions so that you can dedicate more time to devotional life. How far is it true, and how can we explain this to the
materialistic
people? Okay,
very good point. Yes, Krishna may take away. Krishna may take away when you approach him. He may. But have you considered how much Krishna has given you already? You may be worried that Krishna may take away, but you are not considering what Krishna has given you. Where did you get all the food from? Who gave you all the food? Who gave you all the water to drink? Who gave you all the oxygen to breathe? Who gave you all this? And now you're worried, oh, Krishna will take away if I approach Krishna. Krishna will take away. You know when? When one makes considerable advancement, Krishna prepares him. Jasyaham anugrinhami. Krishna himself is saying, upon whom I bestow my unusual favor. Harishe taddhanam shane. I take away. What do I take away? His material attachments. So that he can depend upon me more. And you are afraid that Krishna will take away. Someday Krishna will take everything away from you. At the time of death, you can rest assured, Krishna will take everything away from you. Right? So if Krishna prepares you beforehand, isn't it better? Like, Krishna took something away, and I take it, okay. Krishna may have taken this much away, but there is so much more there. Krishna takes some more, still so much more is there. Still so much more is there. Similarly, at the time of death, we will see that Krishna may take everything away from us that is material, but Krishna is offering me the entire spiritual sky. So what's the loss? Therefore, we should not think how much Krishna may take away. We must always consider how much Krishna has given me. Even if Krishna takes away, okay, fine. Say a person, he lost few $1,000,000, right? But still he has his family, still he has his house, still he has his food to eat. Main thing is still he has oxygen to breathe. Still he has his life. Still he has his opportunity to function in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, when Krishna takes, we should be happy. Oh Krishna, this was an unnecessary attachment that you are taking away from me. Can you imagine, like, if somebody is feeling so bad because he lost a few million euros, right? How he is going to feel at the time of death? When not only few $1,000,000, everything will be taken away from him. How will he feel? So isn't it better to get prepared? Therefore a devotee's attitude is, am I ready? That is a devotee's attitude. If death comes now, am I ready to go? Or am I going to look back and say, well, I have some attachment still. Do I still have any attachment? That is the test. That is a thing that devotee always puts himself into. That's the test that devotee always puts himself into. If death comes now, am I ready to go? Right? Therefore, when Krishna, if at all Krishna takes away something from a devotee doesn't become affected by that. In this respect, Prabhupada, I'll just give you one example that Prabhupada gave. Prabhupada actually quoted this verse, Jashyaham anugrinhami harishyata dhanushane. Because, you know, apparently Prabhupada went through quite a lot of material difficulties. But Prabhupada considered how much Krishna gave him. And one example, Prabhupada said, I left my family. But look at the family that Krishna gave me today. I left my 3 children. But Krishna gave me so many sons and daughters all over the world. So that is how Krishna rewards his devotee.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Maharaj. Another question?
Yeah.
Because when we are preaching to the people, many times we tell them to take to Krishna consciousness, come to temple, and the most of them they answer the same thing, that Krishna advised, he told Arjuna to do his duty, and that's what we are doing. We are doing our business, we have to feed our family, we have to take care of our house, we have to pay mortgage, so that is our prime duty is to take care of this, because we are grihasthas, so if we come to temple, we'll take care of our business. So what should be our response to them?
First of all, you know, those who want to argue like that, it's better to leave them. Because then, no matter how logically, how reasonably you speak to them, they are not going to listen. Right? But if they are willing to listen, then at least one thing we can point out, that what is the duty? What is our actual duty? You may think that maintaining your family is your duty. Fine, do that. But is there something more that you have to do also? Won't you have to consider how your family members are behaving? What your family members are doing? Don't you want to don't you consider that it is your duty to bring up your children in such a way that they become an asset to the society? Now tell me, what is the best way to train up your children that they become a real asset to the society? And we are not saying that you give up your family. We are saying, okay, while you're maintaining your family, do something for Krishna. That is your main duty. Why are you neglecting that duty? You are saying maintaining your family is your duty. Well, it's a duty. No doubt about that. Yeah, do that. Take care of that duty. But isn't it a greater duty that the person who is providing you for with everything to do something for him? So that is our main duty. And now let's go one step forward. What will happen to your family when you die? Say, just in case. If you die, what will happen to your family? Nobody, at least you won't be here to take care of them. But their life will go on. But what are you going to do for yourself that when you die, then you can at least consider that I have done something that will have its benefit even beyond my death. And that is what Krishna consciousness provides you. It gives you the asset to fall back onto after death. So here nobody is saying that don't give, take care of your family. Take care of your family. But take care of your family proper way. That, you know, that your children, your wife, everybody at home becomes engaged in service of Krishna. Then your life will become happy and Krishna will be happy. So everybody, please become serious about your spiritual life and just make it the most important mission, most important business. Become serious. Make at least this life successful. Thank you. Any more questions? I would expect, actually, I'm expecting a lot of questions from you. Please, feel free to ask questions. Yes, Dharmaraj?
If Kamsa stopped the sacrifice of the Brahmana, in the present also the Karmi try to stop the meal. The people eat meal. You please tell me something about this. Many programs for the people stop the link meals. I have some relation.
No, I didn't get the point. Maybe you can say it in Spanish and then, you know, Bihari can.
Kamsa stopped Vedic sacrifices. Kamsa stopped Vedic sacrifices and therefore today there's all these programs to stop people from drinking milk. Is there a connection? Is there a similarity between the two?
Yeah, because small Kamsas are dominating this world today. 5,000 years ago Kamsa was ruling, and today also, that those days there was one Kamsa, today there are many Kamsas. And they are promoting these kind of things. Kill the cows and stop drinking milk. You get my point? So that means, this is a demoniac. This society has become a very, very demoniac society. It is a demoniac society. But killing cows? You know, millions of cows are being slaughtered all over the world. Cow's meat has become the main food in today's world. So from that only we can see in what kind of world we are living today. And as you are saying, and they are promoting that stop drinking milk. They are saying stop drinking milk because they can't stomach milk. They can't digest milk. In the stomach, where you put the cow's meat, how can that stomach tolerate the affection and love of the cow that comes in the form of milk? Does it answer your question, Amrit? Yes.
Maharaj, in connection with the question Dharmaraj Prabhu asked, you know, there is one industry, they are killing cow for the meat. Now there is a vegan society. The vegan society wants people to stop drinking milk because the calves are taken away from the mother cow. The calves are deprived of mother's milk. So, on this ground, the vegan society is promoting that stop drinking milk of the cow. The milk of the cow is meant for the calf. And the calf is deprived of the milk. So on this basis, the vegan society is making a lot of propaganda and they are trying to influence the government also.
You see, they are just trying to address the problem partially. Do you think if they stop drinking milk, they'll stop killing cows? You get my point? And let us go back. You see, our way to look at things is the way Prabhupada did things. You know, Prabhupada did not address the cow killing, although go brahmana hitayacha. Because Prabhupada knew, if he addressed that cow killing issue, he will be facing such a huge problem that his main purpose will not be solved. Therefore, Prabhupada knew how to stop cow killing, spread Krishna consciousness, make people aware of the importance of cows all over the world. Then automatically cow killing will stop. But by saying that you won't drink milk, that is not going to stop the cow killing. Because they are not concerned about the milk. They are concerned about the flesh. One thing they may say, that, well, how can you drink the milk of the cows that is going to be slaughtered by the same people who are selling the milk? That's the point. But what to do? Does it mean that we should deprive the human society of the most important foodstuff, milk? That's not going to be the real solution. The real solution is to spread Krishna consciousness. Spread Krishna consciousness in such a way, create awareness all over the world in such a way that the majority of the people will go against it. And it is the majority who creates the government. In democratic society, it's the number that counts. If most of the people in the world become Krishna conscious, they'll elect a Krishna conscious government. And the Krishna conscious government, when it comes, he'll stop cow killing. Right? Even I won't be able to stop cow killing. But the government can stop cow killing. And government will become Krishna conscious when majority of the people in the world have become Krishna conscious. Okay? Do you have a question? Yeah.
When we meet our friends, what they see as a strong wall in what we are doing, the things that we have to leave. Before they do anything, the first thing that they see, okay, this person is not eating out and he's not doing all the things. Because when you're young, you're more energetic and, kind of materially opulent and you're earning well. They think, we say, Dukhale Mashashwatam, but where is the misery? I don't realize. So one thing is that we don't realize that we are in a, emergency situation. And the second is that as soon as they come in close, they see this, you know, those principles that we are following, and it becomes a wall in front. So how do we, you know, especially for the younger
Well, if they're not willing to go that deep, then there is no need to kind of put so much importance on this principle, right? Rather, make them understand that at least you chant Hare Krishna. And if they chant Hare Krishna, read Prabhupada's books, then gradually they'll come to the point when they'll give up these four sinful activities. Now the other consideration is, I mean, if one thinks about it little deeply, let us consider, is meat eating good? Is taking intoxication good? Is immoral relationships good? Is gambling good? So if they are not good, why should we indulge in those activities? If something is bad, why should you go out of our way and do that? But unfortunately, today's world is revolving around those sinful activities. That has become the part of life. Eating meat, taking intoxication, illicit relationship, and gambling has become, you know, the most important thing for many people. Or that has become the, you know, source of enjoyment for them. Right? That's the unfortunate state of affairs in today's world. But, you know, those who are thoughtful, they'll understand that. And we have to logically convince others also, convince people also, why these things shouldn't be done. Does it answer your question?
Once they go into deep, it's fine. But as soon as they meet you, like for example, if I were to give you an example, the people in my office, they see me, you know, like I don't eat out, even when I go out with them, which I avoid, but if I have to go, I don't eat there. Or I don't do such, you know, I don't drink, indulge in those things and that. So whether I'm saying it or not saying it,
you can tell them that my wife is the best cook in the world. That's why I don't feel like eating anything else. And you can invite them at home and give them the taste of it. It can be a big party, right? About other things, you know, you can tell them that, you know, like, taking intoxication, getting drunk, ruining your mind, is it desirable? Right? You can tell them, you know, I drank once, but the next day I got such a big headache, I decided not to drink anymore. So in this way, there's no need to kind of, you know, like, give an answer that may create some negativity, but you can present it in a way that can, you know, that they can understand. Because every one of them know, you drink, next day you get a hangover, right? And you feel so miserable. So any thoughtful person will think, I mean, why should I indulge in something that's going to end up in a misery like that? Right. Yes?
See, coming back to Ananda Prabhu's point, when you were talking about material opulence, and you know, we have to think how much has Krishna given us, and you know, even if he takes away, we should not like worry too much. But then if he gives you a lot of material opulence, is that, does it mean that he is less merciful on you?
You see, no, it's not that. You see, Krishna gives us what we need. And Krishna takes away what we don't need. That's how we have to look at it. Like, for example, the child. At some age, it needs the toys. But then he gives up the toys and he gets stuck with the computer. Then he grows out of the computer and gets involved with his girlfriend. Right? You see, his life goes through different phases. Similarly, a person's life also goes through different phases. Like, and Krishna, like a caring father, you know, he provides. Okay, you need, you are attached to money, fine, take the money. But then, you know, like at some point, the child himself thinks that, well, I don't need the money anymore. Now I need something else. And like that, you know. So Krishna will, you see, when you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna guides you in your life, through your life. So that a devotee understands. A non-devotee will not understand. And that's why a devotee always accepts everything as Krishna's mercy. Not only he just, you know, blindly or like a parrot says, oh, it's Krishna's mercy. He feels it. How is Krishna's mercy? Because at every step, he sees how it's Krishna's mercy. He goes through some difficulty. But going through the difficulty, he sees that this was actually Krishna's divine arrangement to free him from that attachment and make him more attached to his lotus feet. Because at the time of distress, you remember Krishna more than at the time of happiness. So if you are able to remember Krishna more at the time of distress, won't that distressful situation become more desirable? Right? Like, just consider, you know. I mean, in a way, it's true. Krishna puts his devotees through lots of difficulties. Like, if you compare the life of Duryodhan and Yudhishthira Maharaj, materially, Duryodhan is very, very well off. But Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, materially they're facing one after another difficulty. But who do you want to follow? Who becomes your ideal hero? Why? Because they are the real noble individuals. Whereas Duryodhan is an abominable personality. Right? So, in this way you can see the material prosperity is not the ultimate consideration. To a gross materialistic person it may be, but to a wise, honest and sincere person, material difficulties are not actually his problems or material difficulties doesn't shy him away, because he sees that through these material difficulties he becomes a better person. Another way to look at it, you know what purifies gold? Fire. You know what purifies heart? Suffering. just as fire purifies gold, burning away the impurities, suffering actually purifies the heart of a devotee. Right? Therefore, they are desirable for a person who wants to make spiritual advancement. And then the final consideration is, what is our real destination? This world or that world? Okay. So if that is your real destination, is it desirable to get stuck here? So if you become too attached here, then how will you go there? If the prisoner becomes too attached to the prison, will he ever think of going out of the prison? So that's our situation. We are in a prison house. Now should we get out of the prison or should we just get stuck here? Yes?
Maharaj, we were talking on the point of mercy of Lord Krishna if something is taken away. So it's the mercy of Lord Krishna, some material things are taken away from a devotee. But at the same time you said that it is for those devotees who are highly advanced. For example, Prabhupada. Now for those devotees who are not highly advanced, those who are in neophyte stage, or maybe Madhya Madhikari, or now Lord Krishna has given us intelligence, so one has to use the intelligence in the right perspective and use whatever things given by Lord Krishna in his service. But if the devotee does any foolish thing due to his not using the intelligence in the right way, and he does any foolish thing, and he loses that material thing. It can be anything. So, in this, how can this be taken? How can this be seen? Will this be seen as a mercy of Lord Krishna?
You see, first consideration is not. It is not how others are thinking. Is the question is how you are thinking yourself. The person who is going through. How he thinks, how he feels, that's what really matters. You see, how the world is seeing, that's not important. Like how the world was looking at Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't matter to him. How he was feeling himself, that's what really mattered. Right? Another thing is that if something is bad for you and if it is taken away from you, is it good or bad? Say you have a disease, and if the disease is taken away from you, is it desirable or not? So Krishna takes away that diseased condition. Ultimately, what Krishna takes away is a diseased condition. But others may not recognize that. They may think that disease is a desirable object. Or say another way to look at it is, a more appropriate way to put it to make you understand. If a person is addicted to something,
just
let me finish this point. Listen. If somebody is addicted to something, say somebody is addicted to heroin, he can't stay without heroin. Now if somebody comes and takes away his addiction from the heroin, how will he feel? But his other friends may think, oh look, he doesn't take any more addiction, any more heroin. The guy is gone. Right? So our material condition is like that. We are, Prabhupada used to use the expression, inebriated, drunken, intoxicated. Our condition, the material nature is like a bunch of drunkards. Now, if our drunken stupor is taken out from us, is it desirable or not? Okay, now you can tell me what you are about to ask.
You give this example of taking drugs. Now, one example comes in my mind. Yudhishthir, he played this gambling match with Duryodhan. That was unintelligent, that he even bet Draupadi in the match, in the gambling match. So, how should we...
Through that, Krishna is teaching us what we shouldn't do. Through his devotee, Krishna is teaching us what one shouldn't do. If you get into gambling, this is the consequence. You get into a kind of a frenzy. You completely lose your sanity. And you keep on staking and staking and staking. Yes, yeah.
For me personally, sometimes I think at the moment when I'm working or I'm doing some work, like sending an email, just for an example, at that moment that I'm not thinking of Krishna at that moment because I'm thinking of doing that work. And if, like, sometimes I feel that if I leave my body at that instant, how is it possible so that 24 hours a day and 365 days a year, all the activities, even though that instant I'm not thinking of Krishna, but I'm doing that other work. Yeah?
So very good. Very good point. You see, on your part, you surrender yourself to Krishna. And Krishna never forgets. When Krishna sees that you have surrendered yourself to Him, then He will hold Himself responsible. Like even an honest person, just consider a good man. If somebody comes and takes his shelter and says, look, I'm surrendering myself to you, won't he give him protection? If that person is in difficulty, won't he come out and help him out? Now can you imagine if an ordinary human being can be so grateful, how Krishna will feel? Therefore, on your part, you just surrender yourself to Krishna and depend upon His mercy. And you can rest assured that at the time of difficulty, Krishna will come and rescue you. You may not remember Him, but if He comes and stands in front of you, can you not remember Him? So that is how Krishna rescues. That's why Krishna gave that assurance. Just surrender unto me. And I will take care of you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That's the assurance Krishna is giving. Ma suchaha. It's good that you are thinking in that way. That, oh, I'm not able to remember Krishna 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But at least in your heart, you harbor that attitude that, Krishna, I have surrendered myself to you. And now you please decide what you want to do with me. You have a question? Okay. Any other question? Rahul, do you have a question? Or you haven't started asking us yet?
Once I start, I won't stop.
Okay, let's hear.
No, I don't have a question.
Okay.
You can ask some kirtan.
Yeah, let's see if there are questions.
No, I was saying if you can have some kirtan.
No, I'm saying, you know. Okay, if there is no question, you can have some kirtan. Maybe Vedavas, I led a kirtan. Vedavas Prabhu will lead a kirtan. Take the mic. Take the mic. Still you want me to come every year?
Yes.
Yeah.
after hearing.
One and one.
Bye. Premanande. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Samaveto Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to the assembled. All glories to Vedavyas Prabhu ki.
All glories to
His Holiness
Swami Maharaj ki.
Jai.